Y'all enjoy that? Amen. Amen. I'm glad we've got a Savior that's still wonderful. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls Him wonderful. He calls Him Counselor. He calls Him the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I'm thankful we've come into this place today. I hope you didn't come to hear me, because you ain't don't hear much. But we've come into this place today to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've come into this place because we've got a Savior who's changed our life. That's the only reason I'm up here this morning. I could be anywhere else in the world, but because Jesus changed my life, here we are. And I thank God for what He's done in my life. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. I appreciate the men and women who have laid down their life so that we could come in here freely. We've got missionaries back at my home church in Indonesia. And I told them on Wednesday night, every time they get out of church over in Indonesia and they walk out the doors, they don't know if somebody's going to be there to kill them because they're in there worshiping Jesus. I'm thankful that although our country is pretty messed up right now, that we've still got the best country in the world. Amen. And we still have the freedom to come and worship Jesus Christ freely. And I thank God for giving me the opportunity to come and worship Him this morning. Now, it was a pretty big week for me, as some of you probably already heard. I know, especially when you're a Baptist, news travels fast. And when I first came here, I stood at the back. I believe it was February I first preached here. And the question that I got the most, not was where are you from, how old are you, all this. The main question I got was, when are you going to marry that pretty girl? And I came back again. I got the same question over and over and over. And I still get the same question every Sunday. Well, I finally answered the question. On Wednesday night, I asked Monica to marry me. So, yep, thank y'all. She said yes. Yeah. But y'all didn't know she asked me to marry her three times before that, and I said no. So, I appreciate the Lord bringing her to my life. It's funny how the Lord still answers prayer. And I know my mama and my grandma and even everybody back at my home church has been praying for a woman to come into my life. And the Lord exceeded all my expectations. She's a godly woman. She encourages me when I'm down. She makes me laugh when I don't feel like laughing. And most of all, she's kind of pretty too, so that's kind of an add-in. But I appreciate Monica always being here for me. There's people in here that don't have a spouse that likes to come to church. They don't have family members that like to come to church. But I'm glad that God gave me a woman that loves being here. Because I love being here. Because I love it, she loves it. She loved it even before I loved it, because she had parents that raised her that way. And I appreciate Bill and Suzanne being here, Monica's parents, to come. He had the day off, so he had to come hear some preaching again. But I appreciate everything that this church has done for us. I know if y'all came to my office, more than likely I showed you the ring, so y'all knew it was coming anyway. Hey, brother. But and I appreciate my other grandparents being here this morning, Homer and Madonna. Y'all didn't know y'all meet the real Madonna this morning, did you? There she is. But if you hear me talk about Israel, you'll hear me talk about them, because that's who I went with. They took me on the trip with them, and I got to go on the trip of a lifetime. And I'm actually wearing that pin this morning of where I got over in Israel. And I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Y'all don't know how much I love you. And even before y'all are gone, before I'm gone, I'll remember that trip the rest of my life. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking me over there and for even driving up 2 hours this morning to come hear me. My brother's here and his wife. Hey, Derek. He's got another brother. We've got another brother. He's down at the beach being a heathen. No, he's just taking a vacation. But I appreciate all my family being here this morning. Well, I guess it's preaching time. I think I got everything. I told Monica the other day, I love preaching. I love short preaching. I love long preaching. I love loud preaching. And I like quiet preaching. I just love preaching. Some of y'all sitting out there saying, well, I like quiet, short, and soft preaching. And we'll have you out of here before too long, I promise. Anyway, let's go ahead and we'll get into the message this morning. Flip to Jonah. So turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. You find the book of Micah, it's the book right before that. You find the book of Amos and Obadiah, it's the one after that. I know those minor prophets are hard to find back there. Nobody hardly reads them, so they're kind of hard to find in your Bible. But anyway, they're at the end of the Old Testament there, if you'll find it in your Bibles this morning. If you've been to Sunday school when you were a kid, you've heard probably the story of Jonah. If you've been to children's church, you've probably heard what happened to Jonah. So we're just going to go over it just a little bit this morning, and we'll see what the Lord has for us, and then we'll go get us a bite to eat. Amen. I love to eat, if y'all hadn't noticed yet. Ray makes fun of me because I eat McDonald's all the time. He likes to laugh at me. I went to McDonald's this morning. All right. Jonah chapter 1, we'll start this morning. And we'll begin in verse number 1, and we'll just read the first three verses. The Bible says in Jonah 1, verse number 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And look at this next verse. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And that's where we'll stop this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the ability just to be able to come in your house this morning. We're thankful that you've already ministered to our hearts through song. And Father, I just thank you for the Spirit of God's presence in this place this morning, Lord, and we don't take that for granted. Lord, I pray that just the rest of these minutes, God, I pray that you'll do in the hearts of your people whatever you want to do, God. We just turn this service over to you, God, and we pray that you'll do whatever you want to do, God. I pray that you'll cleanse me, God, of my sin from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, Lord, that we'll be able to preach your word. I pray that you'll empty me of self and fill me with your Spirit, God, that we'll be able to do your work for your glory. And Lord, I pray for everything that's done, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise, for it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen and amen. You find in verse number 1 and 2 that God puts a call on Jonah's life. The call to Jonah's life, the Lord came to Jonah and said, "Jonah, get up, and I want you to go and preach to these people at Nineveh." And whether we like to think it in here or not, you don't have to be a preacher for God to put a call on your life. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher for God to put a call on your life. The fact is, every single person that's filled a pew in here this morning, God has put a specific call and a specific purpose on your life. As a matter of fact, if you are a Christian, I believe God puts three specific calls on your life. Number one, God calls a person to salvation. That's the first thing God does, is He calls a person to salvation. To come and get saved by calling on the name of the Lord. After you get saved, God puts call number two on the Christian's life to sanctification. And what sanctification is, when you get saved, God puts His Spirit to live on the inside of you. But He doesn't take away that old flesh and that old sin nature. So what sanctification is for us to be able to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. For those old sins that we live by in our old nature to be laid down and for us to no longer practice those sins. God calls us to salvation. Number two, God calls us to sanctification. And number three, God calls you and I to service. For us to serve God in the place that He put us with the gifts that He's given us. And the Bible says that every single person in here, if you're saved, you've got a gift from the Holy Spirit. And one day we're going to be judged based on what we did with those gifts. And it just so happens that God calls Jonah here in these verses that we read to number 3, the call to serve Him in Nineveh, to go and preach to Nineveh and get them to repent. We find God's call in verses 1 and 2. But you see in verse number 3, Jonah's rebellion. In verse number 3, you see Jonah's rebellion. God said, Jonah, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee to go to Tarshish. God said, go here. Jonah said, no. And the fact is, every single person in here has a little bit of Jonah on the inside of them this morning. Amen. We've all heard God tell us to do something, and we've all said no. Whether we've said no or whether we've said, well, I've got a better way, God. Partial obedience is still disobedience. When God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, Jonah went the complete opposite way to go to Tarshish. And all of us have a little bit of Jonah of us on the inside this morning because we say no to God when He puts a call on our life. And this morning, God has put 3 calls on our life, just like I said. Salvation, sanctification, and service. Which one are you saying no to this morning? Has God been calling you to come and get saved and you've been saying no? Has God been calling you to lay down a specific sin in your life that's holding you back from being the child that He wants you to be? And you said no. And is God calling you to serve Him in your workplace, in this church, or wherever He puts you, and you've been saying no? Whichever one you're saying no in this morning, God doesn't want you to say no. And we get the mixed up feeling this morning that God is just up in heaven and He wants to keep us from having fun. That's why He gave us all these commandments. To keep us from having fun in our life. But when a parent sees a teenager going in rebellion, going the way of the world, they're not going to discipline their child just because they say, I don't want you to have fun. They come to their child and discipline their child because they say, I don't want you to ruin your life. Because more than likely, the parents have already been that way. They've already seen what it's like. And they don't want the kids to ruin their life. And God's the same way. When God sees you and I living in rebellion, He's not mad at us. He just don't want us to ruin our life with the choices that we make. And that's what happened here to Jonah. Jonah said no to what God called him to. Have you been saying no to what God's been calling you to do in your life? Because we find in verse 3, Jonah went to Tarshish. He got on the boat and he went his way. And guess what? God let him. God let him. God will never interrupt the free will of man. The whole reason He put that tree in the Garden of Eden was to give him a choice. Because if they didn't have a choice, they'd be like a bunch of robots just serving God because they had to. The reason God gets, think about it, if me and Monica were the only people on earth and I walked up to her, I said, honey, I love you. She'd say, well, yeah, you have to. I'm the only person on earth. That's not much love at all. But when God gives us a choice and we pick Him, that's how we show when we love Him. But we often say no to God's call on our life. And don't miss that this morning. God will let us say no. God will let us say no. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, just for the next few minutes. Saying no to God. Saying no to God. Let's look what happened to Jonah when he said no to God. Look at verse number 4, if you have your Bibles open. Jonah rose up and went to Tarshish, verse number 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up. And now the next verse says, but the Lord now did something about it. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Saying no to God, number one, as bad as we hate to hear it, it brings discipline to our life. The Bible says if we're chastised by the Lord, that means we're children. If we're not, that means we're not His children. Number one, saying no to God brings discipline. But so often, hard times in our life don't just come because we're being disciplined. Job didn't do one thing. Job was being completely obedient to God and his life was a wreck. So just because your life is a wreck does not mean that God is disciplining you. The disciples obeyed Jesus and went across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm still popped up. So if we're completely obedient to God in this life, there's still going to be hard times that come our way. But often, let's not forget that some hard times in our life come as a direct result of our actions and rebellion against God. You say, hold on, last week you preached that God is a God of love. Now you're preaching that God disciplines us? Amen. If a father loves their children, they'll discipline them. God doesn't discipline us because He's mad at us. God disciplines us because He loves us. And He wants us to get us back to Him. Which father would you say loves their child the most? The father that sees their teenager going down a road of heartache, destruction, and is going to ruin their life, and they don't say anything to them, and they don't discipline them at all? Or the father that's over here that sees their child with one more decision about to ruin their life, and he disciplines them and makes them not? Which father loves their child more than likely the most? That one. That discipline their child. And I've been disciplined by God many a times. Anybody else been disciplined by God in here? And as I look back to it, I didn't know what was going on in my life at the time. I didn't know in high school God didn't want me going down that path. I didn't know my first few years of college, God did not want me going down that path. And I didn't know why my life was so tough. But as I look back to it now, I say thank God that He put a hard time in my life to make me turn back to Him. Because if He wouldn't have, if it were not for His grace, I surely would not be standing up here this morning. And if it weren't for God's grace, some of us wouldn't be sitting in this pew this morning either. We'd be in jail, amen. We'd be in hell, amen. If it weren't for God's grace. But there are consequences this morning that come because of our rebellion. And the devil's biggest lie that he whispers to the Christian is, Justin, you're going to be forgiven. Just do it anyway. You ever heard that? Go ahead and do it. As soon as you get done with it, all you've got to do is say, God, forgive me. And He's a forgiving, loving God. And amen, I'm glad we're forgiven every time we come to ask for forgiveness. But that doesn't take away the consequences of our actions. That's probably what the devil walked up to David said while he was standing on his porch looking down at Bathsheba taking a bath. He probably said, David, just go do it anyway. All you've got to do is be forgiven. But David's life was ruined after he made one choice. He committed adultery and then he murdered her husband. And his life was never the same after that. Moses killed an Egyptian. He had to spend 40 years on the backside of a desert. Israel rebelled against God in Numbers chapter 14. What should have took 11 days to get to the promised land took a big circle of 40 years. Because they disobeyed God. Israel rebelled again, and they turned to idols instead of worshiping God. They had to spend 70 years in Babylon. We're forgiven this morning when we say no to God, if we ask Him. But that doesn't take away the consequences of our actions. If you could go right now and ask David, would he take back his choice that he made? He would say yes every single time. Because choices still bring consequences, and they bring discipline. And such was the case in verse number 4. Jonah said no to God, so God sent this storm to discipline Jonah in his rebellion. God will send storms of discipline in our life. And His purpose is not for us to come to this place and say, God, you're mad at me. God, you're punishing me, so I'm going to run away from you. But God's purpose for that storm in Jonah's life was for Jonah to say, God's doing this. And rather than running away, I'm going to run back towards Him. So often, when hard times come in our life, the first reaction is to run away from God. But the first reaction of a Christian ought to be to run straight towards God when a storm pops up in our life. But the fact is, many Christians now only turn to God when times get hard. Because we think we're all right when everything's going good. And I can testify to that. But look what happened when 9/11 happened in America. That next Sunday, was the biggest attendance that churches have ever seen. Because they realized they needed God then. And look now, 17 years later, nothing's happened, and it's the same all over again. So often, God has to send hard times into our life in order to get our attention back on Him. And that's what He did right here with Jonah. When we say no to God, it brings His discipline upon our life to get us back to Him, not to make us run away from Him. Number two, when we say no to God, it affects other people. When we say no to God, it affects other people. Verse number five. Then the mariners were afraid. See, Jonah wasn't in this ship by himself. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay fast asleep. Because of Jonah's rebellion, God sent out this big storm, and now these mariners are right in the middle of the storm and they're having to deal with it while Jonah is snoozing. And they're the ones that's having to deal with the storm now. Verse number six says, so the shipmaster came to Jonah and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said unto every one his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto them, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, look at that, which hath made thee sea. God made the sea, so he was certainly able to stir it up a little bit. And the dry land. And the Bible says they were afraid. And the Bible says in verse number 10, the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because Jonah told them. Jonah said, the reason that this storm has come up is because I'm running from God. And these mariners on this boat are innocent. And yet they find themselves in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea when they were just trying to go fishing in the worst storm of their life. Why? Because somebody on the boat rebelled against God. And this is a whole other message. But our life would be a huge storm until we get Jonah off the boat. Our life just might stay a huge storm, a huge hard time, until we get Jonah off the boat. Because the ship and the storm calmed down as soon as they threw Jonah off in verse 15. That's a whole other message for another day. But when we rebel against God, it affects other people that are around us. And another lie that the devil will tell is that nobody's going to know about your sin. Nobody's going to know that you're saying no to God. I imagine Adam and Eve standing in the Garden of Eden, and Eve looks at Adam and says, just come on. There ain't nobody even on the face of the earth. Nobody's going to know we've done it anyway. And yet here we are. And guess who we're still talking about? Adam and Eve. We're still talking about Peter's apostasy, denying Jesus Christ. And the sad thing about this world is you can do 1,000 good things, but the one bad thing you do, everybody don't remember it. When you think about David, most people think about David and Goliath, but some people think about David and Bathsheba. When you think about Peter, you don't think about Pentecost. You think about him saying, I don't know him. Right? Amen. And that's just the sad part of this world. That everybody remembers the bad stuff. But these men on the boat, they almost died because Jonah said no to God. And I believe in all my heart these men would have easily perished unless in verse number 15 they'd have took Jonah and threw him off the boat like they did. If you're in a family this morning, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your kids, your family might not even know that you're saying no to God. But they're going to be affected by it. And parents know it as easy as anybody else. If your kids are rebelling against God, you're going to be affected by it too. Finally, these people got rid of Jonah because they tried as hard as they could to row through the storm, but they couldn't get through it. Finally, Jonah says, just take me off the boat and throw me into the sea, because I ain't going back to Nineveh. I ain't doing what God told me to do. Jonah would have rather died than obeyed God. But God had something else ready for him. Look at verse number 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging just like that. Look at verse 17. Jonah was expecting to die. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah was expecting to go down there and just end it, be dead, not worry about it anymore. But the Bible says God had this great fish prepared. This fish was not just passing by when Jonah got thrown out of the boat. This fish was already there. God had it there waiting on Jonah. And I heard a man preach a message one time. If you say no to God, there's a whale waiting for you. There was a great fish waiting on Jonah to swallow him whole. And if we were to go out into this world and preach the message of Jonah this morning, they'll say, well, I don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Well, it don't matter whether you believe it or not, it's true. If me and Danny are standing out here on the side of the road and a hurricane's 2 feet from us about to hit us, and he says, that's a hurricane, and I say, no, it's not, does that make it not a hurricane? Just makes me a fool for looking at it and say, I don't believe that's a hurricane. If you don't believe Jonah, this story, Jesus spoke about it. That means you got to take out the Gospel of Matthew now. Amen. Now look at the misery Jonah had to go through in his life because he said no to God. Saying no to God brings discipline and affects other people. And number three, most of the time it just makes our life miserable, whether we like to admit it or not. Chapter number 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, Jonah cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. Jonah was in great affliction now because he said no to God. Verse number 3, thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, the floods come past me, all the billows and the waves passed over me. Jonah is smothered with these waves, smothered with this water, and he doesn't have anywhere to go. Verse number 5, he says, the waters come past me, circled me, surrounded me, and the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. And Jonah was probably in the belly of this whale thinking, how in the world am I going to get out of this? And he probably tried his best probably every day to get out. And when we've rebelled against God, we can try as hard as we can to make our life better, but we can't. God's the only one that can change it. Because Jonah couldn't get out of this whale until he turned to the Lord. And such is the case with those who say no to God this morning. Such is those who have said no to come and get saved. Those who have said no to come and lay down their sin in their life. And no to those who won't serve God in their life. You're absolutely miserable. And I can speak firsthand to that. I could walk in church every day in high school. After doing what I wanted to do Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday I could put my tie on, I could put this shirt on, I could put this belt on, I could even comb my hair a little bit, and I could walk in with a big old smile, but on the inside of my soul, I was miserable as could be, and nobody knew it except me and God. And some of you can testify to that this morning. We can say running from God gives us a little bit of fun in our life. You say, well, those people that go down to the bar every week, they look like they're having fun. It might look like they're having fun, but when they wake up the next morning, they're miserable. Because they can't get out of it. And they found themselves trapped in the middle, and they can't get out. And that's where Jonah found himself. He was trapped in the middle of this whale because he said no to God. And you can fool me this morning. You can fool the person sitting beside you. You can fool the person on the pew next to you. But you can't fool yourself. And you can't fool God this morning. Because I can testify, if you're a Christian and you're living under the burden of sin, it is miserable. Whether we like to think so or not. And you know, I came up with an analogy. I don't know if it's good or not. Or I don't even know if it's an analogy. What it feels like when you're saying no to God. You ever been in the ocean at the beach? And your family's just up on the sand and they're just waving. They say, hey, looks like you're having fun out there. And you're in the middle of the ocean and you're looking towards them and you don't even know a big 10-foot wave is about to come and tackle you. And that wave just comes through and bam! And what happens? You get thrown underwater. You flipping. You getting sand all in places you didn't want it. And then you stand up, and just when you get a breath of air, guess what happens again? Bam! And you can't get no air again. And then bam! And then you look up, and you can't find your family because you're 10 miles down the beach that way. That's what saying no to God feels like. Because it takes you all the way down a place that you never wanted to go. And it's got power. And it don't seem like you can get up. The story of a man is told, and this is a true story. Anybody saw the Burlington revival that happened about 2 years ago up in Burlington, North Carolina? Anyway, I think it was over 700, 800 people got saved within a matter of a month. The story is told of a man that came every night the first and second week. He sat on the front row of that tent revival. And every night, the preacher would give an invitation to come and get saved. And every night that man tells a story that God was telling him to come and get saved every single night. But every night that man kept rejecting, no, no. And everybody said that this was the meanest man in town. He was a big old man. Everybody was scared of him. And he just kept on saying, no, God, I don't need you in my life. No, God, I don't need this. Well, Friday came and the revival stopped for Saturday and Sunday. And that man tells a story that he went home Friday night and he said, I'm done. I ain't going back to that place. The man says he tried to go to sleep that night. He didn't get 1 second of sleep. The man says he didn't eat one thing that whole weekend because he couldn't. Because him saying no to God left him absolutely miserable. And you can fool everybody in here this morning. But if you're saying no to God, you're miserable. You're miserable. The story gets told he went back finally next week because somebody came and visited him and said, we hadn't seen you there in about 3 days. And the night that man came back, he finally sat there in his chair and said, I'm not saying no to God anymore. I'm tired of living in this misery. I hadn't ate in 7 days. I hadn't slept. I'm going to get some of that Jesus that this preacher talks about. And he went and got saved. And guess what that man's doing now? Preaching the gospel. But he said no to God and it left him miserable. And I know I've been preaching judgment and gloom and doom all morning. But there's hope. This is not a place to come in and find judgment, find condemnation. This is a place to come and find hope in Jesus Christ. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is chapter 3 and verse number 1. First of all, look at chapter 2, verse number 7, and we'll get to that. Jonah's in the belly of the whale praying. He says, my soul fainted within me. And then he says, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. And verse number 9 says, salvation is of the Lord. He said, if I'm going to get delivered, the Lord's going to have to do it. God, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do now. And verse number 10 says, the Lord spake. And the whale vomited Jonah up on the seashore. See, Jonah couldn't get out on his own. Until he said, Lord, I need help. Salvation is only going to come from you, or I'm going to stay in here as long as possible. And look at verse chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. The second time. I'm thankful this morning that if you've walked in here and you've said no to God, that He's not going to beat you on the back and say, I'm not going to give you another chance. But I thank God that we serve a God this morning that, like I said last week, is not a big ogre sitting in heaven waiting to punish us when we disobey Him, but He's a God that wants us to run back to Him and He'll do the rest. The prodigal son said, I am absolutely miserable in this swine. And he said, I don't know what my father's going to do when I go back to his house, but I got to go back. Whew. And the Bible says that boy got up and he took a few steps back, and he probably didn't have hardly any clothes on because he had been living the life of a rebel. And the Bible says that boy just got up and he started walking back to his father's house, and that father was sitting out on the porch. And the Bible says that father saw somebody walking up the street, and he says, oh goodness, that's my son. And in Bible times, if you were a guy, you did not run. But the Bible says when that father saw his son, that father took off and said, that's my son, and he's coming home. I'm thankful this morning that God, when I've run away from God, when I've said no to God, He doesn't look at me and say, stay away, stay away, stay away. But He says, come on back, and I'll dress you in the finest robe. I'll cut the best meat for you, and I'll even put a ring on your hand. Because He loves you this morning. He's not mad at you. He loves you. And that father in that prodigal son story is a picture of our God. You take one step back to God this morning, He'll fill in the gap. And He'll run on back to you. And He'll say, my child's coming home. And your life will never be the same. Because He'll put the best robe on you. And He'll give you a life that you always wish you had. And all you've got to do is say yes. If you're running from God this morning, don't say no. Because you can fool us, you can fool me, but you can't fool God. Say, God, I'm tired of this. I've got myself in this situation. And I'm ready to come back. Because living for you was the best thing that I ever did. Say yes this morning. God's calling you. And He wants you to say yes. Jonah said no. And he had to go through some miserable times. But God came unto him the second time. Said, because I'm a gracious God, I'll give you another chance. And I'm thankful that I serve a God that's a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth chances. He loves you this morning. Don't run away from Him. Musicians, you can come forward. Don't run away from Him this morning. If your life's miserable, it may be that you're like Job and you've been being obedient to Him. And He's just testing you. But if you're miserable this morning, and you look back and said, somewhere along the line, I said no to God. Just come on back and say yes. And He'll give you another chance. And He'll turn your life around. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. And God, we're thankful that You're a God that loves us beyond what we could ever even imagine. And God, this morning, You're not mad at us if You discipline us. You love us. And God, You've sent these times in our life that we might come back to You. So Father, I pray that this feeble attempt to preach Your Word, God, would touch somebody, Lord, and that Your Holy Spirit would deal with the hearts of Your people. And God, I pray that You'll make this altar open to them. As the song said, just come to the altar, make a decision to say yes to Christ. And Father, I pray that if there's one person in here that's been saying no to the call of salvation, I pray today would be the day where they come and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray for everything that's done the rest of this service and even the rest of this day. God, we'll be careful to give You the glory and praise. And we love You, Lord. And we thank You for first loving us. And we just ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand.